Back here with you for part two of your Capricorn and Cap Rising and Cap Moon, if you are so oriented, reading for 2015. I want to talk a little bit about the concept of identity in astrology and the couple of the different ways a chart can say I am. One of the most important ways a chart can say I am is through the sign that you're identifying with, such as your sun or your rising sign. And the identity thing is often very strong in that. I mean, it is typically what we count as the first house if we're using your sun, first solar house, or your rising sign if you're Capricorn rising. That is where we do a lot of our saying, building, constructing the concept of I am. What you identify with, and appearances and preferences. And the thing with Pluto and Cap is that's all likely to be changing and kind of pressuring you to, you know, rethink your concept of who you are in some fundamental way that may seem entirely outside of your control. It's good to know if that kind of thing is happening, because it, I'm sure, could be awfully confusing and weird if you didn't know that. And, you know, because I've been doing astrology for a while, it never occurs to me to imagine not knowing what I might be going through. And since I've looked back at a good few transits from the past, you know, I've aligned those changes with, you know, other transit events from long before I was an astrologer. And one thing I'd like to do before I move on to Uranus in your fourth house, another very important concept of I am, is I want to tell you about two very similar phases of your life to now, although there are going to be some important shades of difference. One of them was from 1985 through, gee, this ephemeris doesn't go up that far. Hold on, I've got to check another resource. All right, one distinctly similar phase to now, a sense of change that seemed to come out of nowhere and require long-term adaptation to the force of change, to the presence of the agent of change, is Neptune in your sign between 1985 and 85 and 98. Now, I know you may not have been born back then, or you were very young, or maybe you were, you know, in high school running around the planet as an adult. But in any event, consider that phase. Now, I know it's a long phase, but it may be distinct. You may be able to identify some particular quality of that. And I'm only putting it out for the sake of contrast. And then the second, more recent, increasingly distant past, but is 2001 through 2005, when Chiron was in your sign. Now, if you're old enough to remember when Chiron was in your sign, between November of 01 and mid-2005, that was what I identified at the time as a kind of a warm-up run for Pluto in Capricorn, and my impression at the time was that anything that could possibly come up with Pluto in Capricorn would be revealed during this kind of vanguard era of Chiron in Capricorn in the early 2000s. And those years were blended with a very powerful aspect, Saturn opposite Pluto, the one that was associated with the 9/11 era, that was kind of a door that the world went through and then kept going, never to go back. And so the kinds of changes that you went through in that shorter, more concentrated, more recent time, 01 through 05, late 01 through 05, in many ways characterized what you're going through now. And I would encourage you to go back in time, look at your diaries, look at whatever documents of those eras that you might have. Think about that time. If you're not picking up on this, I believe in and found great results in working with the past as a means of respecting history and as a means of understanding the ways in which someone's chart responds under intense forces of change. And I think that as we go through these kind of new waves of change, new styles of change, that we can get the hang of it and also see common themes between them. And so the Neptune in Capricorn, it's a long phase of time and somewhat distant, and Neptune is a little different than Pluto, but both have this way of operating invisibly. It's like you figure out that you're under this influence long after the influence is shaping your life and your character. So that's one kind of I am type of process. Planets in Capricorn, big meaning powerful, though often small in the case of Pluto and Chiron, involving you in a fundamental reconstruction of your self-concept. There is another way that the sense of one's personal presence can be felt in the chart, and that is where the sign Aries is. Now, the whole chart represents you in a way, but Aries expresses itself, first of all, through every chart, obviously. Every chart has all 12 signs. And what is especially potent about Aries for you is that it is located in what is called an angular house, your fourth house. It's one of the four houses that make up the backbone of the chart. First house, I am. Seventh house, we are, partnerships. Tenth house, aspiration, the drive to accomplish, the need to establish yourself in the world as a matter of reputation. And the fourth house, your security base. That is where we find Aries. And so when we think about the caution of Capricorn and the need to have at least an orientation point on the past, a reference point on the past, not necessarily to live in the past, though that is possible, but an orientation point on the past, it's very strong in Capricorn for you to have a sense of your personal presence and security that you have built in a way that is contained and that is safe and that is stable and that gives you basically a home within yourself, no matter what else may be going on around you. And as if it were not enough that, well, first of all these other planets, but then Pluto is passing through your sign, getting you to confront, to engage, to question, to on a practically daily basis, encounter profound forces of change, as if that were not enough. Another planet that is of more of the revolutionary impulse, Uranus, the inventive impulse, the bad boy, basically, somewhat surreptitious, not necessarily straightforward, but brilliant and sudden, and very much an expression of Aries, is moving through Aries. And it is as if you have a wave machine in the bottom of what used to be a fairly stable, grounded sense of who you are, at least a direction you could orient in that was reasonably consistent. And now what you're likely to be finding when you feel that other sense of I am-ness straight down into your roots is that there is constant change there and that you are living on... it's as if you're living on a raft, being moved by this internal sea of who you used to be that used to just be like right there. And now there's no telling what you're going to find, what you're going to feel, and the sensation of unpredictability and the inability to really have a solid, stable quality of feeling who you are, but rather suddenly being confronted by a constantly changing, sometimes instantaneously, rapidly changing, or perhaps even upsurges of energy, changes in your home, changes in your family, changes to everything that you had used as an orientation point for that sense of presence on the physical planet, downward, grounded, the foundation that holds the house of your psyche up, is in itself going through constant movement, churning, changes, as if there's thunder and lightning all the time there. And this is compelling you to, more than anything, not have one sense of who you are, not have be limited or held down by, restricted by your fixed concept of who you are, but rather to live in a moving concept, of constantly evolving concept of who you are, coming in from at least two different directions. And that is challenging in a special way. But if you rise to that challenge, you will find that you are able to maintain a sufficiently portable viewpoint, a sufficiently loose approach to existence, your existence, that you can move with the flow of time and that you can constantly adapt, because these forces internally are getting you to adapt to internal changes which are entirely corresponding to seemingly external movements in the culture, and you are right in sync with that. But you just can't, you know, you can't be stuck. You can't have moss growing on you. You must be the proverbial Rolling Stone in order to, I think, even have any fun at all in the culture as we are in. I think that maintaining a fixed viewpoint and attempting to cling to a fixed sense of identity would be arduous, would be potentially very painful, because with everything moving around you, there is, it's almost as if you're just watching the world just change in ways that you don't understand. Now, you don't need to, you know, thrust yourself into everything and go start working for Facebook or, you know, become a computer programmer, but it would be very helpful if you made a conscious series of choices to observe the world around you and look for what you do identify with. In times of profound change, and we are in a time of profound change, as I've said, unlike anything that civilization as we know it, going back 5, 6, 7,000 years, has ever been through. There's been nothing that's come on this fast, this furiously, this thoroughly intersecting with every single facet of consciousness and of reality. It is absolutely over the top to think that practically every person is living almost every facet of their life in some way, large or small, through the digital environment, including this reading that you are getting, which is only possible thanks to the digital environment. It just would not be practical to be able to do this, and there are many such benefits to this environment, where there is this plasticity, where communication is relatively cheap, and where it is possible to express any idea pretty much with impunity. I mean, as long as you're not, you know, clicking on ISIS websites and trying to book planes to Turkey, pretty much do what you want and say what you want and think what you want. But there are a couple of things to get used to, one of which may be your need to be in sync, which may conflict with your need to, you know, hang out with older ways of life and older things. And another one is likely to be a surprising ability to relate to the changes and to invent yourself, to rethink who you are in a rapid sequence of changes that is entirely uncharacteristic of you, that will put you in a place where suddenly it is great fun. And this may be extant on the level of a need, of an emotional need to really participate and really be part of it. And you may think, what the fuck am I thinking? Like, what? I'm not one of these, like, gadget people who's, like, all about everything modern. I want to read a book with my cat by the fire. And yet there's this, you know, kind of onslaught of electrons coming at you and way too much information to process. But I think that these are elegant transits in the way that they are working together and encouraging you to live in the present and in some sense really to live in the future, to propel yourself or to allow yourself to be carried into the future, which is unknown, we think, right? It's just like, well, where is this all heading? We don't know where this is all heading. And you may be so disoriented at times that you can't even imagine where you are heading, where it's all heading. There's not really a way under the transits you have to say, okay, there is a linear progression here that is indicated. Just not in the planets. But what there is the ability to adapt very well to what seems like a chaotic situation and to actually be in harmony with that. And as I suggested before, I don't encourage clinging to the past, but I do encourage orienting yourself on things in that are from the past, that are gifts from the past, that are still helpful to this day. I have strong Capricorn in my chart. I have Angular on the 7th. I've got the South Node there, and have a beautiful affinity with all things of a Capricorn nature. And one of the ways that, you know, for example, I choose to live on one level surrounded by pretty good technology. And my dog friend Jonah, who's probably hearing the neighbor come in, is that despite being surrounded by terabytes of storage and computers everywhere, I like to have as much handcrafted pottery as I can. My drinking cup on my desk here is handmade, and I basically collect handmade things and fill my life with the things that are made with human love and craftsmanship. And so that is a practical use of something from the past, right? You drink out of a $1 cup from Walmart. Maybe it's a lot more to get one handmade by a potter at the farmer's market. Ah, but you know you've got something that a potter made. I like old books. I like to have old copies of hardcover books. I like to read. I like to read from books, and I like to read from old books when I can. There's lots of other examples, but especially the handmade, useful old style. Like, I'm into old style soaps, like handmade. I never buy industrial petroleum based soap, rather, maybe except for dishwashing detergent. Other examples, I'm getting my first handmade guitar made by a guy in Florida who makes guitars at his kitchen table. And so this is one of the ways that I stay in touch with reminders from the past. I like to make my own food as much as I can. I like to cook in cast iron. I like to use glass. this kind of thing. And this at least helps give me a sense of stability amidst all this constant change. And that is a very good use of this kind of Capricorn type of energy, right? Because you have that, you appreciate these things. And that will help give you a sense of time slowing down a bit rather than everything changing all the time. Stay in contact with those things that you value, that you love, that serve your existence. All right, Pisces. Very important sign in your house. But let's talk for a second about the sign right before it, which is Aquarius, which is your sign of self-esteem. Now, one thing about Aquarius is that there have been, as there have been coming through Capricorn, relentless transits through your second house, which while you've been, going through all these transits through your first house, there's a slightly deeper level of identification in the second house, which is what you value, what you consider to be a personal resource. Now, the interesting thing about Aquarius right now is what planets have left Aquarius. And it's as if you are being left alone, finally, to honor your value on your own life and to have some stable, consistent experience of the resources that you have. And one of the tough things about transits for many of the past years has been that it's been challenging to establish what is really important, what matters. And that house is calming down. But where those planets have gone, the delta, as I call it, of the zodiac, is Pisces, and that is your third house. And the third house takes us a little bit wider into self-concept, right? The houses tell a story. And so first is I am Capricorn. Second is I possess or I value. That's Aquarius. Third house is I express. So it's kind of more of an exhale. And it also relates to your local environment and your town, your community, friends on the level of basically cousins and brothers and sisters, immediate neighbors and very close friends. It's also about communication and writing. And while there's a lot of, you could say a lot of things about Capricorn and its potential antipathy to too much technological advance, part of that antipathy, part of that not necessarily wanting to be on the bandwagon of every new thing that there is, involves your love of what is beautiful and what is gentle. And here, now, many planets have collected in Pisces, your sign of what is beautiful and what is gentle and what you want and need to express. And there is a potent focus of energy here. And in years past, when there was less going on in Pisces, when there were fewer planets, in particular, for example, Chiron is now in Pisces, and it's been there for a while and will be there for a few more years, but it is as if you are gathering focusing ability on what you want to express. And that focusing ability on what you want to express has with it an impulse for healing, deeply encrypted in it. And it is as if you're being given the ability to rewrite certain core beliefs that you have as a conscious act of will. So if you find yourself involved in such a process as, I have to be careful what I believe because what I believe has a way of becoming true, I attract what I believe, and so forth, that is very likely a factor associated with Chiron and also conjunct a much slower moving, really interesting planet, all orbiting our sun, by the way, called Borsisi, and that is about belief and the story of belief. This sequence of thought recently took a step with the inclusion of Neptune, which has powerfully refreshed your imagination and your desire to basically think beautiful thoughts and make beautiful things and to express yourself in beautiful ways, perhaps somewhat overwhelmingly, perhaps with a slight touch of poignancy, and that you may perceive and experience things that you know it's not easy to put into words. But with the help of Chiron, with the help of this factor that is all about clear, conscious expression in a way that is documentable or documented, Chiron favors things that document as they go, such as the internet, by the way, and also the process of accounting for and of documentation. It's about the real manifestations of understanding tangible knowledge and how it influences you. And this knowledge is focused through expression. It's not collected and collected and collected like a hoard. The power of the third house and the expressive potential, well, the power of the third house is released through the expressive potential of the third house. I know that I'm a writer, many other things, but I would deeply, dearly, profoundly encourage you to write, to focus your thoughts in a way that you can see, feel, share, evaluate, revise, and develop them. And typically that comes in the form of writing. And in particular, in the midst of this onslaught of technological progress, the act of writing and also of reading is going to be helpful in stabilizing you and not having you feel like you are so close to the edge that you're going to fall off, or like you have no idea where the time has gone. Writing will help stabilize the flow of time and will also help you grant some discipline and cultivate a sense of inner orientation that, given all of the changes that are going on, all of these shifts to the various ways you might say I am changing so fast, really the only answer to that is something that is slower, something that is more timeless, something that is at once less worldly, more ethereal, but also has this peculiar sense of being more real because it is not subject to the many changes of life, except that it is always, what comes through Pisces, willing to express itself in a new form appropriate to that time that it's happening, right? And this you have. Now, there's one more factor about to, I'm recording this on January 30th, 15, in a few days, about a week, Nessus, very slow mover, is about to enter Pisces, another centaur, for 18 years. We'll be there after everything that's currently in Pisces has moved on to other signs. And what Nessus is saying is, ultimately, in the third house in Pisces, you are fully accountable for what you believe and for what you think and for what you express. That is going to strengthen you and give you a sense of self-mastery to take responsibility for what you think and what you express. And this is, it is quite literally a power. I'm not a big fan of that word, but there are some times when it really is about the conscious handling of power. By the way, Mars conjunct Chiron, exact right now, as I'm doing this reading, is also speaking through Pisces and into this reading. And the implication here is to take up your expressive ability, in particular in writing, though where Pisces is involved with writing, there is almost always other expressive form around it, whether it be music or beauty or color or illustration or something. But the concept of the third house that is the the sort of heart of the matter is the written word, so far as I can tell. It's my experience and use of astrology. And what the written word will give you is the ability to make contact with what you have the deepest faith in, and to make yourself part of, or to participate in as a conscious act, what you feel to be the most ineffable, unspeakable, infinitely beautiful, and yet you can bring this in. And as you do that, you will become a conduit, not for change, but for the flow of the infinite through you, which I think will have a way of making many of the changes that confront you seem like they matter less. They will seem more like changes in the form of things, whereas the content is something that actually is quite consistent. And in addition, much of how we feel about ourselves and much about how we relate to life involves the stories that we tell ourselves about what we're experiencing. And so this is very much an exploration of the story that you tell yourself about what you're experiencing, the story that you see unfolding in the world, but you are the teller. You are the one who is the documentarian. And this will, I think, give you some mastery over time and mastery over change. A bit of a tapping into the immortal quality of existence through Pisces. Now, speaking of things of a Piscean nature, there's a house in the zodiac. Houses and signs do not line up, right? You have Capricorn, Sun Capricorn, so we're calling that the first house, and then the wheel fans out, Aquarius second, Pisces third, Aries fourth, and so forth. And in that orientation, the last of the houses, the 12th, which has a resonance with Pisces, there's exceptions to that, but really it does have a strong resonance with Pisces, and your chart happens to have Sagittarius there. And that's amazing because it is an image of the inner cosmos. It is a sensation of being so inwardly vast inside, having so much space inside of you, as if there's some kind of an optical illusion where you might be a somewhat small person, but you contain this vast inner cosmos of Sagittarius. Sagittarius, in the measurable sense, is the sign of the largest things that there are. Pisces is the sign of the largest things that there are in the non-measurable sense. So in Sagittarius, we have, you know, for example, the ability to say that that distant galaxy is, you know, 100,000 light years away or something like this. And in the case of the galactic center, which is in Sagittarius, it's 25,000 light years away. And we can have a sense of scale. And for you, that sense of scale is inward. And that does a couple of things. It makes it difficult to measure because it's inward, but it also is a very compelling force to turn you inwardly into yourself and to recognize that there is a world, the universe that you contain, that no one else contains, and that you know that you possess. It's one of the most interesting things, I think, in the entire arrangement of all possible configurations of the zodiac signs to have Sagittarius in the 12th house, because the 12th house has this inwardly contained property. It's the house of prisons, for example, that which is contained and can't be breached. And it's the house of the parallel reality, the as Sting said, the deeper world than this that is tugging at your hand all the time. And that parallel reality for you is a very large parallel reality. I mean, think of it as one of those dreams you have where, you know, you're living in your home or your apartment or your cabin, and you dream that there is a door, and the door leads to a huge space that you did not know was there. That is the feeling of the 12th house, and in particular, the feeling of the 12th house in Sagittarius takes you beyond the concept of a physical space, a place with dimensions and walls, and into a cosmic space where you're basically finding the stars and the galaxies in the deep of your consciousness. This may be a little bit abstract. I do have a feeling you've felt this. Now, what's interesting about now? What is it about this moment that makes this so special? What that is involves your ruling planet, Saturn. Saturn rules two signs, Capricorn and Aquarius, so it's a very influential planet in your chart. It is the night. It's associated with Capricorn by night and Aquarius by day, but really anybody born with strong Capricorn is kind of a child of Saturn. And now Saturn is in Sagittarius. It's going to be here a long time. With the exception of 90 days in 2015, it will be in Sag from late 14 to late 17, just based on the various movements of all the celestial bodies and the illusion of perspective from Earth, we get an almost 3-year experience of Saturn in your 12th house. And what that is doing is pulling you deeply in to your experience of yourself, as if you cannot resist this. And it's just, there's no point in resisting it because that's where your most beautiful growth is. And where Saturn goes, there may be the experience of fear, there may be concern, especially with the 12th, there may be the sense of losing yourself in some way, or feeling insignificant in a humongous cosmos. But the thing about Saturn is, first of all, besides its absolutely gorgeous appearance, that is one fucking good-looking planet, right? I mean, astrology tends to kind of be down on Saturn. I mean, I wonder if any of these astrologers who don't like Saturn ever seen the photos that have come back from the Cassini space probe. This place is astonishing. It is the very image of elegance, celestial elegance, and it is a microcosmic solar system. It is a self-contained little solar system with something like 60 moons. Very well studied. It's close enough to the Earth that scientists have been looking at it for quite a long time. And there are many, many photos of this. I do suggest you Google Cassini Space Probe and click on image search and see this astonishing beauty. There was a space probe sent down to one of the moons, the Huygens probe, which I believe went down to Titan. And the conditions, the closest in the solar system to Earth before it fully formed, are found in the moons of Saturn, in particular Titan and Io, which is constantly changing. It's a very volcanically active and tectonically active moon. And so we get these visions of what existed before the beginning of time, as we think of time. And so you are being taken for this ride through your inner cosmos that is going to go on for years and has just begun. And the result may be a rapid acceleration of your spiritual growth, in particular if you're in harmony with these other factors, these other, Pluto in the first, Uranus in the fourth, and the beautiful collection of planets in the third, where you express yourself. A rapid acceleration of spiritual awareness, of direct awareness of what is so, of what is possible, not self-help, not guru stuff, not book knowledge, not workshop stuff. I'm talking about direct immersion in actual cosmic experience. God not as a concept, God not as a theological idea, but rather as a directly immersed or bursting out of you experience of existence. I say all of this recognizing that the one thing that all of these transits have in common is to take you to an edge, what may seem like a dangerous edge, an inner edge. All of the houses from 12th through the 4th have some factor that is edgy, for lack of a better word, including a slow mover remaining in Aquarius called Damocles, which in terms of how this planet would describe self-esteem in the style of Aquarius, the feeling of how dangerous it is to consciously love yourself. And as you move to the point of that ability to love yourself, that you see and feel that you are in a dangerous, potentially vulnerable, unpredictable, unknown place. All of these transits are basically in numerous ways guiding you out to the edges of who you are and confronting you with the existence of the edge and challenging you to get closer and to stretch all of those inner boundaries. All in all, an astonishing time of growth and of living not the dream, but the reality of, in a sense, ascension. And as someone with a gift of practicality, and even with probably the most impractical sign, Pisces, blessed with the presence of Chiron, you have the ability to take all of this ineffable, numinous, indescribable inner experience that is shaping you and pushing you and do something with it. And the risks of the world may seem very small indeed compared to the verging on impossible to describe inward sensation that you have. So therefore, try it. It's worth it. There's things you want to do. You're bigger than all of them. Do them. I will be back in the morning with astrology afterthoughts and additionally a tarot reading using the Voyager Tarot by Dr. James Wanless. And I'm going to sleep on this and see what percolates through all of this invocation of this deep unconscious and basically mystical territory. I have a feeling there's another message waiting. All right. Great fun to work with you. Bless. Love. Bye for now.